Listener Harrison News. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto paid a special attention to preserving Raja Ampat Southwest Papua as a protected national park and a world-renowned underwater tourism destination. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Bahlil Lahadalia stated. As a result, President Prabowo has decided that the government will revoke 4 mining permits in Raja Ampat, with one of the reasons being the protection of its ecological integrity. Reported by AntaraNews.com, several of the mining sites are located within the designated geopark area. However, the licenses were granted before Raja Ampat was officially designated a UNESCO Global Geopark on May 24, 2023. Manpower Minister Yasieli affirmed the importance of fairness of protection for workers during the 113th session of International Labour Conference in Geneva, Switzerland on Monday local time. He further affirmed that the Indonesian government continues to make efforts to create jobs equitably and sustainably, with a focus on the youths and vulnerable communities, including people with disabilities. Reported by Antaranj.com, to this end, he affirmed that the government continues to develop training and internship programs to ensure job seekers' skills align with the current and future needs of industries. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yogyakarta City is an interesting tourism attraction. It has not only a lot of cultural and artistic heritage, but also has many beautiful and natural tourism objects that can spoil visitors' eyes. One of them is a multi-level waterfall called Grojogan Watu Purbo. Grojogan Watu Purbo, located in Duku Bangunrejo, Merdekorejo Village, Temple District, Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta, is also known as Grojogan Watu Purbo Bangunrejo because it is located in Duku Bangunrejo. Grojogan Watu Purbo has an unusual grojogan or waterfall, such as a six-level terracing and flowed by a series of small waterfalls. The water flows from the Krasak River. Grojogan Watu Purbo has actually been existing since 1975. Initially, this place was built because of the Merapi project, which built a dam to hold back lava flow when an eruption occurred. In this area, there is actually a grojogan or a waterfall on the left and right and large old stones. It is not known for sure the age of the stones. That's why it's called Grojogan Watu Purbo, which means ancient rock waterfall. Grojogan Watu Purbo is famous for its very beautiful scenery with six levels of towering waterfalls. The best view is seen in the morning when the sun rises, coupled with the chirping of birds greeting visitors. The rocks that decorate the river are so exotic, it's ideal to be a stepping place when playing water. This place is appropriate for all ages. Visitors can explore every corner of Grojogan Watu Purbo and every level, and also sit on a large rock while looking at the beauty of Grojogan. You can also swim here, and of course, don't miss taking selfies. The best time to visit Grojogan Watu Purbo is the rainy season, but you should avoid it when the rainfall is too heavy.
Tatkala mentari terbenam di ufuk barat, di saat itulah dingin rindu selimuti keindahan senyuman dari lesung pipi itu. Menikmati imaji bersamamu, maka terimalah diriku. Kita akan bahagia selamanya. Ku berjanji jadi suamimu, dan ku akan memberikan yang terbaik untukmu. Sadar diriku tak seindah lagu indie yang selalu kau dengar meracuni telingamu. Ku pastikan indie bukan tentang saja dan larang sahaja mewarnai duniaku, maka bersama, izinkan
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, up next is a song called Banyu Moto. Banyu Moto is composed by Hari Marwanto. It was released in June 2020 on YouTube. The word Banyu Moto comes from the Japanese language, which means tears. The lyrics itself tells the story of a song written by someone for their beloved, containing a heartfelt promise to remain faithful and loyal to their partner until the end of life. Well, listeners, here is Banyu Moto by Nella Karisma and Dori Harsa. Happy listening.
Kanggo kowe sing paling tak tenani nganti saiki
tumete se banyu moto iki sing dadi seksi sumpah lan janji sehidup semati.
Matikan ku pastikan merko omong kowe sing tak tresnani tekaning mati.
Cahyo lintang ing wengi gawe ayem ati tambah gegowo rasa kangen ring sliramu.
Think that Jakarta is all about the metropolitan city, there is no culture in it, but you are so wrong, because not only the traditional, the popular ones are also in here. So, for the latest one, the Jakarta Provincial Government joining hands with the Australian Embassy in Jakarta, running an exhibition featuring artworks made from ghost nets, aka discarded fishing gear, to raise public's awareness about ocean sustainability. So the exhibition titled Ghost Nets Awakening the Drifting Giants apparently was launched back in March and will remain open to the public at several days until August at the Maritime Museum or Museum Bahari in North Jakarta. And according to the head of Jakarta Culture Office, Muhammad Miftahullah Tamari, there are 18 art installations on display. And the pieces depicting large marine animals like turtles, stingrays, squid, and fish were created by Erebarts, an Australian-based community, primarily using ghost nets. And the installations are displayed in underwater theme rooms to allow everybody, including you as a visitor, an immersive experience. And for people wanting to try and watch the exhibition and also be reminded about the importance of the ocean itself, you can go to Museum Bahari or the Marine Museum for, well, less than $1 for adult from Tuesday to Friday, and a little bit higher is still less than $1 or $1 on the weekends.
Siapkanlah dirimu, tunjukkanlah gayamu, karena malam ini menantimu. Lepaskanlah semua, segala beban yang ada, kini sudah tibalah saatnya. Jangan peduli semua, apa kata mereka. Bersama kita sebut malam ini, bulan tersenyum, lihat kita menari. Bintang berkelip mengikuti irama nada melodi lagu kita. Bersama kita sebut malam ini. Lepaskanlah semua, segala beban yang ada, kini sudah tibalah saatnya. Jangan peduli semua, apa kata mereka. Bersama kita sambut malam ini, bulan tersenyum, lihat kita menari. Bintang berkelip mengikuti irama nada melodi lagu kita.
Malam ini ku bebaskan diri dari tegang beban, setelah ku lalui hari yang melelahkan. Senyum-senyam, kilau bintang, menyapa dalam kebersamaan. Waktunya bagiku untuk beraksi, chemistry alami bereaksi, sinkronisasi frekuensi. What we need right now is a party,
yeah. Jangan peduli semua, apa kata mereka. Salah kita sambut
Come on now.
once you step foot on the enchanting island of Bali. You're welcomed by breathtaking landscapes, vibrant culture, and warm hospitality. To ensure you make the most of your Bali adventure, here's a story highlighting the essential of traveling in this tropical paradise. Embrace the local culture, meet the Balinese people with a warm smile, and respect their customs and traditions. Use your best attire, and if you're a woman with a period day, don't go to a temple or other sacred places. Explore the natural beauty. Bali is home to stunning landscapes. Do explore lush rice terraces, pristine beaches, and lush forests. Hike up to Mount Baitar. Prioritize your safety. Don't climb the sacred trees, and get the sunrise you'll never forget. Practice responsible tourism. Support eco-friendly and sustainable practices. Choose accommodations that prioritize environmental conservation and respect local communities. Bali's natural beauty is a treasure. Don't litter on beaches, in forests, or the ocean. Dispose of your trash properly and consider participating in beach cleanup efforts. As you embark on your Bali adventure, remember that responsible tourism ensures that this island paradise remains enchanting for generations to come. Bali welcomes you with open arms. It's up to you to protect its beauty and culture. Bali awaits. Ready to weave its magic into your travel story. Safe travels, and may your journey be filled with wonder and discovery.
Be.
want to stay updated with accurate and reliable news from Voice of Indonesia and RRI stations across Indonesia, RRI.co.id is the answer. RRI.co.id, the official news portal of Radio Republik Indonesia, brings you the latest, credible and comprehensive news from across Indonesia and the world. Stay informed from a trusted source only at RRI.co.id, your reliable online news portal. In a moment, you'll be listening to a story about Pinisi.
Betapa bahagianya hatiku saat ku duduk berdua denganmu. Berjalan bersamamu. Menarilah denganku. Namun bila hari ini adalah yang terakhir, namun ku tetap bahagia. Selalu ku syukuri, begitulah adanya. Namun bila kau ingin sendiri, cepat-cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku, agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersamamu dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudahlah kau temani diriku. Sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersama dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudilah kau temani diriku. Istriku.
Dia takut menempuh badan. yang jaya di lautan.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Road by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
In Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it. In Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Appeared around the 19th century in around 1830-40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Venisi sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur. Sehingga akhirnya, ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Sukarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari solompong, there was palari tongkong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of when Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Spinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi,
at that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir, if you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said, the same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Pinisi di Banan ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu kan Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Spinisi ship was built originally from Arab Bulukumba, South Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience, and it is recognized throughout the world.
Ada bilang teknik bagaimana? Dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan Pinisinya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjolosari.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2.5 months. Has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from biti wood, but the scarcity of biti wood forced me to use it only for the ship rooms. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang. Bisa untuk pakai tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Minas, papang papangnya disusun, satu-satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali seling, tali tian, nampak belakang, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is a precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu
there is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gauge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. They seem to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Arab people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa, yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a sailboat. And they all have to function the same as sailboat. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sink. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve f from x, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archipelago for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only PNC.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit, sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru konsumsi halaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya, memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih dikedepankan kepada halayak ramai, supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini si doa.
Saling masih banyak yang belum sempat aku katakan padamu, masih banyak yang belum sempat aku sampaikan padamu, masih banyak yang belum sempat. Banyak yang belum sempat aku sampaikan padamu, masih banyak yang belum sempat aku katakan padamu, masih banyak yang belum sempat.
Rupert Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Rupert Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupert Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Rupert Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Rupert Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Rupert Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Rupert Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Rupert Island, you have to cross by boat known as Roro Ship or Roll-on Roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Rupert Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
Saling bersandar ke arah mata angin berbeda. Kau menunggu datangnya malam saat ku menanti fajar. Sudah coba berbagai cara agar kita tetap bersama. tersisa dari kisah ini hanya kau takut ku hilang. Perdebatan apapun menuju kata pisah. Jangan paksakan genggamanmu. Izinkan aku pergi dulu. Yang berubah hanya tak lagi ku milikmu. Kau masih bisa melihatku. Kau harus percaya ku tetap teman baikmu. Oh, oh, oh. Sudah coba berbagai cara agar kita tetap bersama.